This morning, I really, just praying about a word for today, I really felt like we are in a season where we can't give up. We cannot quit. In fact, I've titled this morning, Chasing Dreams. Are there any dreamers? If you're a dreamer, go ahead and put that on social media. Maybe do a thumbs up. I see some people raising their hands in here. You're a dreamer. Funny thing about dreams, we actually only remember about 10% of what we dream. And in fact, I want to encourage you today that everyone has a dream in their heart. Now, I'm not talking about silly dreams that you wake up or nightmares, but I'm talking about the dream that God's given you of what you're supposed to be doing here and now. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life? Right now, it's real easy to get frozen or consumed with so many voices, everything going on around the world, that we forget what our purpose is, why we are set on this earth. In fact, to define a dream is a hope. It's a longing or an aspiration that God has put in your heart. I want to encourage you this morning that if you stop dreaming, you stop living. We might feel like, well, I've already stopped living, Kathy. I've been at this stay-at-home thing, or I've lost my job, or, school was taken away from my kids, and you fill in the blank, and you feel like you've stopped living. Well, can I just encourage you this morning? I've come to stir up your faith. We're going to start dreaming, and we're going to start living as a church family. It's so important. In fact, there's five types of dreamers. Okay, there are those with no dreams. Don't raise your hand in here. Don't put your thumbs up on social media. There are those with a wrong dream. It's me, myself, and I. I'm just going to accomplish what I want. There are those with a stale dream. Maybe you're trying to live out somebody else's dream. Maybe you had a parent that put things on you that they want to see you accomplish, and it can become stale. There are those with a vague dream, and then there are those with a God-honoring dream. And that's what I really want to stir up in your heart today. We are put on this earth for such a time as this. God does not make accidents. So your purpose, your timing, being here right now in this season of your life is God ordained. We have to encourage ourselves and stir ourselves up. In fact, there's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. If you have your Bible, turn to it. It's so important. You know, the Bible talks about the Word of God is living. It's quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. It's supposed to be our manna. It's supposed to be our bread. I know when I'm listening sometimes to ministers, I just kind of skim over. And the Word is supposed to be heard and gotten down in our hearts so that we can live by it. But it says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. This is actually in the Message. It says, if people can't see. Do you know with all the chaos and that's going on around us, all the voices, what we hear, the different opinions of what people should be doing, shouldn't be doing, the word that has really dropped in my heart for right now is clarity. Clarity. We as a people, we as a church have to be able to see things clearly. And it goes on to say here in Proverbs, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But, I love that, when they attend to what he reveals. Who's he? He's God Almighty. When we attend to what he reveals, that means we're here at this time and we know what we see and we know what to do, then we have success. Or it says what he reveals that they are most blessed. I'm telling you, we're living in a time that can be a blessing. It can either be a hardship or a blessing. It depends how you're thinking and how you're believing and what you're dreaming about. It also says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Any people in here? People. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters, they'll prophesy. Your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. So I think that's all of us. We need to dream again. We need to take quitting out of our options. It's so important that we recognize that God's not finished yet with us and what we're called to do. In fact, your voice makes a difference. Your passion makes a difference. You are here for a purpose. I'm so super excited about our upcoming summer groups. You've heard Pastor John make mention of them. As we said, Ashley's been working with all of our small group leaders. Thank you on the other side of the screen. If you are a small group leader, put a thumbs up. We're encouraging people to go online and sign up. And some people might say, well, I don't really need that right now. I have enough. I'm maybe taking care of a parent, or we're still working on the end of our school year, and we can come up with excuses. But can I just tell you, it might not be what you need, but you might have what somebody else needs. So we encourage you, go online and sign up. Share who you are with others. So we're talking about dreams. And I want to tell you that quitting, it can either be subtle, where we don't even notice that we're walking away from something, or it can be drastic. So we're talking about not quitting our dreams. Quitting is not an option. A subtle walk away might be that your marriage isn't going so well, and all of a sudden, 4 years in, you find out that you're living with a roommate instead of a spouse. That might be a little bit subtle. Maybe your child was involved with a sport, and they got a stomach ache, and they decided not to go one time. Then the next time, they were on the bench. And then the next time, they complained that their uniform wasn't right. And it's subtle that all of a sudden they're no longer on the team. And then there's the drastic quitting. Like, hey, I'm done. I walk away. I'm walking away from this marriage. I quit my job. But can I just tell you, when it comes to dreams, the enemy wants to be subtle. You don't even realize that you've been discouraged. You don't realize that you've been distracted. You don't realize that you put what you're destined to do, what you're called to do, on a shelf, and you're busy doing everything else. In fact, the moment quitting is no longer an option, all other decisions become easier. I want to tell you that this morning. I want to stir up faith in you this morning. Quitting is not an option. I'm going to read that again. The moment quitting is no longer an option, all other decisions become easier. I want to, this morning, disarm the spirit of quitting. We're here for a purpose. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I love this. Paul here is saying, being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you, God wants to complete the work in you. And the reason that most people don't finish or set their dreams to the side, yes, sometimes it's because we got married, or sometimes we started building a family and we didn't know what all that took. Maybe it's, if you've had an injury and all of a sudden that sets you back. Now, there are excuses as to why dreams don't come to pass, but I believe it can be also broken down into three words. The words, he who began. Who began your dream? Who gave you the thoughts and the desires to fulfill or be a success in the area that you want to be a success? Because we've got to remember, where is it that our dream was conceived? In what form did God drop those words into your heart? Were you journaling and all of a sudden you had a God moment? Were you in your prayer closet and all of a sudden a dream dropped into your heart? When was it? Can you remember when the Lord dropped a word in your heart? It's so important that we don't quit. Do you know Jesus finished what he started at the cross? I mean, we watched just last night, The Son of God. If you have not watched that yet, I'm not sure if it was on Netflix or we recorded it, but man, it's so moving. Jesus didn't quit at the cross. We can't quit what we're doing. God is not a halfway God. He doesn't want us to quit either. And I've come to remind somebody this morning, stir yourselves up. Who gave you that dream in the first place? Your neighbor didn't give you that dream. Your best friend didn't give you that dream. Your mom, your dad, your pastor has not given you that dream. God's given you that dream. So why do we allow other voices to influence us? Why do we allow what other people think or what other people say that we have to have when they didn't give us that dream? So he who began that work, who began that dream on the inside of you, God did. The dream belongs to the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling distracted or well, I got a lot more on my plate right now than dreaming. Remember what I said in the beginning. If you're not dreaming, you're not living. So maybe you got to back up and say, okay, let's go back to what God originally told me. Do I need to start here? Start here, and then you will be a success. The dream belongs to the Lord. We've got to encourage ourselves with that. Now, I understand circumstances happen. People disappoint us. What's that saying? Hurting people hurt people. But listen, you can't give up on your dream just because somebody's not believing in you. You can't give up on your dream because a family member has hurt you. You can't give up on your dream because somebody else has wounded you. That is an excuse. We can't give up on our dream because of insecurity. I want to encourage you this morning that I understand that there is legit reasons as to why we feel like we can't move forward. But those legit reasons can't stop you. There is stories in the Word of God, story upon story. Anybody in here heard of Joseph in the Bible, right? Joseph, he's the guy with the coat of many colors. He was born into a family with 11 siblings. Anybody come from a big family? If you come from a big family, put a thumbs up, an emoji on social media. But big families come with just situations and problems. I can remember growing up, it was kind of like first come, first serve. Once the food was gone, it was gone. We're known sometimes to eat really fast. But here, in particularly with Joseph, it says in Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 7, here Joseph, he had a dream. Now we're talking about chasing our dream. He had a dream, and it says Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him. Not just hated him, but they hated him all the more. That's crazy to think. That means there was already sibling rivalry going on here. There was already some issues that they were working through. But then it says here, he said to them, listen to this dream that I had. We were binding sheaves that were working in the field of grain out of the field. And when suddenly my sheaf rose and it stood up and all of your sheaves bowed before me. Okay, can we just say that Joseph needed a little bit of tact? He needed a little filter on how to, what's that saying? Win and influence people, win friends and influence people. He didn't have that. But the thing about Joseph is he knew that he had a dream. And if you continue to read everything that took place in Joseph's life, the brothers ganged up against him, and they were going to kill him. And then they decided, the oldest brother spoke up and said, hey, let's not kill him. Why don't we make a little bit of profit off of him? We'll sell him. And so they went on and they sold him into slavery. And we're familiar that he went from the pit to the prison, to the palace, and it was a process that he went through, but he had a dream. In fact, we're going to play a game real quick in here, and if you're on social media, I want you to either write the word give up or go on. Because with dreams in our lives, with situations in our lives, there are circumstances that are always going to happen that cause us to want to give up. And then there's other little pushes where something's working out perfectly fine. In fact, God's blessing and favor is upon us, and we feel like we can go on. So we're going to say in here, when I say what happened to Joseph, you can either say give up or go on. So he is being sold into slavery. What kind of response does that get from us? He's going to give up, right? He's being sold into slavery. You on the screen, he felt like he needed to give up because he's being sold into slavery. What about living in a strange country far from home? Nowadays, that might make us want to go on being away from our family after being so together in our home. But really, that was a give-up situation for Joseph. What about given favor in Potiphar's home? That was a go-on situation. That was the favor of God working in his life. What about being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife? Doesn't that make us want to give up, right? That would make you want to give up. What about thrown into prison? That would make you want to give up. Now remember, he had a dream. He was told that he was going to rule or that his brothers were going to be bowing down to him. Now, I don't think that was like a pride thing or a humble thing. I think that was something that God was helping him walk through. So right now, it seems like every two times he has a give-up situation, he has one go-on situation. Isn't life like that sometimes? The things that we feel like God's told us we're to do, and all of a sudden something happens that's so drastic and so hurtful, and we feel like we've been robbed of our future. But then God comes with a go-on moment. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in a give-up season or if you're in a go-on moment, God is with you. How about when he was put in charge of the prisoners? That's a go-on moment. What about, this is Joseph, when he was forgotten by the cupbearer? It was 2 years later. That's a give-up moment. Anybody ever felt like they're stuck? Like a give-up moment? Where are you, God? Why aren't you working on my behalf? And then it says here, and then he became second in command under Pharaoh. That was a go-on moment. I want to encourage you this morning. God doesn't put a dream in you and walk away. You've got to understand that. I want to encourage you this morning. What is it that God has purposed in your heart for you to do? People don't give it to you, and people haven't given you that dream, so they can't take it away. Are you supposed to be writing a book right now? Are you hesitant to patch up that relationship with a family member? I'm telling you, it's so important. Maybe you're on the other side of the screen and your dream is to have a family, to have a baby. Yet it's been a give up. It's been give up. But I'm encouraging you this morning, go on and trust God. Maybe you're supposed to be going back to school, starting a new vocation. You fill in the blank. Starting a business, recording a song. What is your dream? I'm so tired of seeing men and women that have given up on their dream. They're just caught in the rat race of, I get up in the morning, I go to work, I get home at this time, I sit in my lazy boy, then I watch this TV show, then I kiss my kids goodnight, and then my day starts over the next day. And then, and likewise for other family members, we can get so caught up that we're going to look back and say 30 years from now, wow, what did I do with my life? I'm telling you, I'm not going to have any regrets in my 70s or 80s. I want to know that I've done what God has deposited in my heart. I want to encourage you this morning. The reason that you are passionate about what you are passionate about is because the earth needs what is on the inside of you to change this world. Are you moved when you see sex trafficking commercials? Are you moved when you hear about the orphans or those that need to be adopted in our area? Are you moved when, even like today, honoring our veterans or honoring those that have lost their life? If something moves you, then don't just shed a tear and keep doing what you're doing. Do something about it. Your dreams that you have, what moves you? It's so important. I mean, I actually love to journal. I like to go back and look at different things that God's shown me. It's not a time to quit right now. We're going to, 5 years forward, fast forward, we're going to look back at this pandemic time. And there's going to be two sides of the story. There's going to be individuals that say, I sat in my house, struck with fear, and I didn't do anything. Then there's going to be other people that are going to say, man, I utilized that time. God dropped a book in my heart. I drew closer to the Lord. I took an online class and educated myself. I helped a neighbor. I got involved in my community. Fill in the blank. We can either pause and freeze, or we can succeed and do what God has put in us. Can I just tell you, your occupation doesn't define you. That's not just who you are. You ever get into a room and the first thing people say isn't like, how are you? Or it's usually, what do you do? When you're sitting on a plane, what's the first question people ask? What do you do? We try to define ourselves by what we do. I want to encourage you today, don't get caught up in what you do, but what is the why behind what you do? The why of my life is that I want to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to stir you up. I want to stir up your faith. The process of fulfilling our dreams takes time. So I'm going to get ready to close. The music ministry doesn't need to come up quite yet, but I want to tell you that there's three principles that I try to live my life by. It's so important. Three principles that have saved my life in more ways than one. Number one, the first principle is recognize and value the process. I think Joseph had to recognize and value the process. I mean, if we were to do a chart or a graph of what his emotions must have been like in his life trusting God, there was highs, there was lows, there was opportunity to quit, there was opportunity to lay down and say, oh, well, whatever. But he continued to chase the dream. He continued to stay close to God. I just want to encourage you, recognize the value of process. When something is happening to you, God is doing something in you. I hate disappointment. Can I just tell you that? I hate to hurt on the inside. But I have to ask myself during those seasons, what are you trying to teach me, God? How can I grow from this? I mean, if you're a parent, we are more moved, or we know that it's more important to develop character in our kids than it is comfort. I mean, think about it. When school was in session, I know when my kids were younger, there were days where it was just like, I want to stay home. Please let me stay home. I want to stay in bed. And the comfort was, oh, we could have a fun day. Let's stay home. The character was, no, I want you to get an education. I want you to get a job so that when I'm old and gray, you can support me, right? But how is it that we run our household like that? We want character. And yes, we do comfort our children, but we want character over comfort. But when it comes to our own lives, what do we do when God's trying to teach us something? We run to comfort. We don't want to learn anything from hardship. So recognize the value of process. It's so important. Life is not what happens to you, but how you handle what happens or how you respond to what happens. If I was in the pit, oh my gosh, I would have thrown a fit. And then you went from the pit to working, and your Joseph was promoted to be the head of the household. And I'm just telling you, when it comes to lust and when it comes to romance and all that, he could have very easily, when Potiphar's wife went after him, he could have gotten away with that, but he thought of the dream. I think those were learning moments for him. It's so important. In fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If you don't like the process, if you don't like to hurt, if you don't like to go through the pain, I mean, even when it comes to building muscles. I know Jules and I started an exercise thing together, Beachbody. Can I just tell you, it's painful. In fact, we went for about 10 days and I'm the one that quit. I'm like, my lower back hurts so bad. I'm gonna get back on it. But there is recovery and there's strength that's built through the process. And it says here in 1 Peter, it says, so be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead. There's not joy right now, okay? When it's painful, there's not joy. But be truly glad, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials. In a little while, why? These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. We're stirring up faith today. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine and is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Can I just tell you, when it comes to the purification of gold, when they burn gold or they apply heat, all the impurities rise to the top. It's almost like the Bible is telling us to want to be under heat, to want to go through the test, to want to go through the trial so that our impurities are burnt out of us. Can I just tell you that every storm has an ending? At the end of most storms, there's a rainbow. You can either quit in the middle of your storm or you can recognize, what can I learn from this storm? What's going to make me stronger? James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he says, consider it pure joy. I don't know of anybody that laughs and is joyful when they're in pain. But the Bible here says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you face many trials of any kind. So really, we got to be saying, when we're hurting, when things aren't going like we want it to go, teach me. What do I need to learn from this? Understand that there is process. Number two, this next one's a big one. If we're going to learn anything in life when it comes to dreams, refuse to let offense stop me. That's something in my own life that every day I have to say, wait, I'm not going to get offended over this. It's just not worth it. I'm not going to allow what somebody else is doing in their life to affect my life. Do you know that there are people placed in your circles to just do that, cause offense? If the enemy had his way, he would get us distracted with unforgiveness, get us distracted with offense. He could care less what's going on or what the fight is in your marriage. He just knows that if he divides and conquers your marriage, that he will divide and conquer your dream. We've got to recognize that. It's a dangerous territory if we allow offense in our lives. Resentment, offense is a dream killer. It helps nobody. It's so important. We've got to give up offense. In fact, Genesis 50, verse 20, this was Joseph. He could have stopped and killed his dream, but in Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. He recognized it wasn't worth to hold on to that offense. It wasn't worth to allow somebody else's life to steal from his life. Your dreams don't have to stop. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 1, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offense will come. There it is right there in plain red letters. Offenses are going to come all the time. In fact, what is the prayer that Jesus told us? He said, how do you pray? We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. Why? So that, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a daily thing. Do not allow offense to take from you. It's so important. And that's a prayer that we have to pray every day. And resentment is a dream stopper. The real enemy is the enemy, not the individual that you're fighting with. It's so important. Number one, value the process. Number two, don't let unforgiveness stop you. Number three, remember God is always with you. I'm going to ask the music ministry to come up so we get ready to close. Can I just tell you, in this season, in this time that we're in, God is with you. God is for you. God is in love with you. God is in love with me. He wants us. He wants us to succeed. What is it that you've let go? What is it that you've given up on? What is it that you feel like there's just no turning back? There's no fixing this. I'm here to be a voice of faith for you today. Get that dream off the shelf. Get those things that you know that you were created to do. Put them before you. Work towards them. In fact, there's a scripture. The day that Joseph was sold into slavery, talking about God being with you, it says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and so he prospered. He's with you. And then in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20 and 21, the Lord was with him and he showed him kindness and he granted him favor. God wants to show you kindness today. God wants to show you favor today. I wrote down just a few scriptures real quick to encourage you. I know that trials come, seasons come, things that try to steal from you come. It's part of life. I'm just telling you, we're not going to quit as a church. We believe that you're not going to quit as an individual. Still dream. Chase your dream. It says in Psalms chapter 139, verses 8 through 10, talks about God is with you. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. God's there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, and I settle on the far side of the sea, he is there. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. He is there. Psalms chapter 46, verse 1 says he's ever present in times of trouble. He is there. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. He is there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8 says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Jeremiah 1 verse 19. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you. Spot offense. But I will be there with you. I hope you're getting the message this morning. You are not alone. He is there. Keep chasing your dreams.